Throughout history, there have always been groups of people who have been convinced that the apocalypse is just around the corner. And this movement seems to have grown bigger and louder in recent years, really since the COVID-19 pandemic. There was a research survey, a poll conducted in 2020, and 1 in 5 Americans believed that the apocalypse was coming. And so if you look on the internet and you search for how to survive the apocalypse, you'll find many, many resources to help get you through. And so the well-respected website WikiHow, you can look on that website for things like how to teach your children to tie your shoes or how to make a cake, that sort of thing. It gives sound step-by-step advice. It will give you advice for how to survive the apocalypse in 14 steps, complete with pictures. Or if you look on Amazon, you will find multiple resources for how to survive the zombie apocalypse, one even written by a trusted resource, a Navy SEAL. So this idea of apocalypse and its coming in our lifetime, well, it seems to be the stuff of conspiracy theorists or fringe thinkers. And I'm guessing you or I, maybe we don't spend so much time thinking about the apocalypse. Well, I'm here to tell you that Scripture is full of references to the apocalypse. And today we're talking about the book of Romans, a particular scripture in Romans written by the Apostle Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament. And this scripture is about the apocalypse. Now, we might not see it at first glance because he talks about how all of creation is waiting for the revealing. But the word revealing, you know, in English, the original language in Greek, it was the word for apocalypse. See, Paul and people in his lifetime, they felt like, or they believed, that Jesus was coming to return and the apocalypse was just around the corner and would indeed happen in their lifetimes. And so they were waiting. And we're in the middle of a series, a 5-week sermon series called Broken, Good News for Tough Times. So if you believe, like Paul, that the apocalypse is just around the corner, what gives you hope? What brings hope when the world is crumbling or you believe the world will crumble? What brings hope? Well, first and foremost, I want to say that this biblical view of apocalypse that we get from Paul is nothing like this horrific zombie apocalypse or, you know, the end times of destruction or where certain good people are plucked out and sent to heaven and certain bad people are banished to hell. The rapture is often called. That's not what Paul is talking about when he talks about apocalypse. The apocalypse that Paul is believing in is good, good news. And it's for all of creation, the good and the bad, the healed and the not so healed. All of it together is healed in that last day. Scripture calls it the last day or the second coming of Christ. This future day when God's victory is final. And it's like heaven and earth become one. All of earth is covered and included in heaven. And there is no exception. Not one iota of creation is not included in this new heavenly realm. That's what Paul is talking about here. He says all of creation is waiting for this revealing. The brokenness of creation, tornadoes and hurricanes and people who are hurting or disease, all of it is healed in this future day, the apocalypse. It's nothing like a zombie attack. It is all about love and restoration and healing and God's heaven coming to earth for all of us, no one left out. It's this beautiful, beautiful image. All of creation is waiting for this revealing. And our scripture, our second scripture for today, it's this parable that Jesus tells. It is about the weeds and the wheat. And there's a farmer that plants, very carefully plants some wheat in a field. And that farmer, of course, is God in this analogy. And the evil one also plants some weeds. And so the two grow up alongside of each other until the final day, the apocalypse. And at that time, all is harvested, the good is saved, and the bad is burned. And that's what happens at the end of time. That's what this parable is talking about. But we might think, well, I hope I'm good enough to be included in that final harvest. You know, I think we're often hardest on ourselves more than we are our friends or other people. Am I good enough to be included in this final harvest of the good? But the truth is, it's not about separating good people from bad people, because all of us have things we're proud of and things we're not so proud of. It's about God's healing of the and God destroying the things about us that are not so good and healing the rest of us. God's conquering and final victory of every evil so that we are swept up in this love of God. That's what this final harvest is about. That's what the apocalypse is about. And as Paul says, it's a universality of it. It's not leaving anyone behind. It is for all of creation. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer and we say, God, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we are praying for this exact thing to happen, for heaven and earth to become one. Now, I'm guessing you don't spend a lot of time thinking about the apocalypse. If you're like me, I firmly believe that that is not going to happen in my lifetime. I've got bigger fish to fry, so to speak. I'm living in the here and now. And after all, people since the beginning of time have been waiting for this end of times. So what makes me think that I'm so special it should happen in my lifetime? I don't think it will. What I do, you know, think about, or what people tend to kind of wonder is, okay, in my lifetime, what happens if I die, or when I die, or when my loved ones dies? Well, here's the good news. This apocalyptic realm, this heaven come to earth, when we die, or when our loved ones die, we step out of time and leap straight to that heavenly realm. So it really is not, it doesn't matter if the apocalypse comes in our lifetime or not, because when we die, we jump to this beautiful heavenly realm, where all is well and all is healed. You know, there's a book that was popular several years back called Heaven is for Real. Maybe you've read it. And it tells the story of a little boy. He was almost 4 years old, and he suffered a ruptured appendix, and his life was in danger. And he was rushed to emergency surgery, miraculously survived. Well, after he had come out of the surgery and in the months that followed, he began to tell his parents about certain things that happened while he was in surgery, things that he would have no other way of knowing. He talked about being out of his body and seeing his dad yelling at God in the chapel of the hospital. He talked about seeing his mom on the phone asking for prayers as she wept. So he saw these things that he shouldn't have normally seen, but he also saw Jesus. And he talked about how wonderful that was. And he talked about meeting relatives that he had never met in his earthly life. In particular, his great-grandfather they called him Pop, his great-grandfather. Well, as he described meeting Pop in heaven, Colton's dad showed him a picture of Pop. And Colton said, "That's not Pop, that's not who I met, because that guy has glasses. Nobody wears glasses in heaven." So Colton's dad dug out a picture of Pop as a young man before he wore glasses. And Colton said, "That's him. Nobody is old in heaven either." That's what heaven is like. Nobody wears glasses. Nobody is old. There is no disease. There is no pain. There are no tears. That's what heaven is. And that's the reason we can hope during troubled times, because we know that's the fate that awaits each one of us, and that's the fate that is promised at the end of days for all of creation. There is truly no need to despair, none. That's the promise that we are given because of what Christ has done. But we live in a world where these things happen. People need glasses, I do. People get sick, people get old, people die. People have arguments. There are earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes. There is climate change. There are shootings on the evening news that we see day after day. There is for sure brokenness in this lifetime. The weeds and the wheat grow together until that final day. One almost might say that heaven and hell are not experiences for someday after the apocalypse. They are experiences in the here and the now. Life is filled with wheat and weeds. Life is filled with moments of heaven and hell. So Episcopal priest Carol Gallagher, she's an Episcopal priest and a bishop. She's also a member of the Cherokee Nation. And she's heard the stories of her ancestors as they talked about the Trail of Tears. The Cherokee people, the nation was in Georgia, and they were forcibly moved, forced to walk miles and miles from the what was Georgia to what is now Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Indian Territory. And they made this journey on foot by force, and thousands died of starvation and exposure and disease, and it was hell on earth for the Cherokee Nation. But, she says, you know, when they got to the Oklahoma Indian Territory, and it was a dry climate, nothing like the climate that they had known back in Georgia, they still found moments of heaven. They found streams that had shade. They planted gardens. They told stories at night under the stars. And there were moments of connection with each other and with the Creator, even in the midst of a hellish situation. So that's what this life is, wheat and weeds together, heaven and hell coexisting until the final day. Whether that final day is our time on earth ends or the final day is the grand apocalypse, when God wins the final victory. Until then, we live in this creation that is broken, but there is never a reason to despair. We are never without hope. The pains that we experience in this lifetime, Paul says they are nothing but labor pains. They are pains of a new creation that is coming alive, a new birth of God's reality. So we don't despair. The life that is broken around us, we know that there is still hope, always reason for hope, because God is good. Thanks be to God.